Sitting at the head table at a Kiwanis luncheon last week in Phoenix, Evan Meekum doesn't seem like a political pariah. He could be a grandfather in a Norman Rockwell painting, with a broad and easy smile that spreads across a face creased like cracked earth. Here he jokes and chats and munches on mashed potatoes and turkey, and he eagerly jumps up when everyone rises for the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, was so proud.
To some Arizonans, Evan Meekum is a political savior on the verge of his second coming. But to others, he's a mean-spirited, racist, incompetent buffoon who continues to embarrass his party and state. He continues to fight a paid state holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King. He defended the use of the term Pickaninnies in referring to blacks. He told a Jewish group that the United States is a Christian nation where Jesus Christ is the Lord of the land. He said Japanese get round eyes when they consider Arizona's golf courses. He's vowed to ban homosexuals and unmarried cohabitating couples from state government. And he committed impeachable crimes. The Arizona Senate convicted Meekum of improperly loaning state money to his own car dealership and of obstructing an investigation. The investigation focused on a Meekum aide who allegedly threatened another aide with death.
There's sort of one dominant issue in this campaign, and that is, does Evan Meekum come back? And even though he's not by anybody's reckoning to date, is he the front runner, he's a Nixonian figure. He just keeps on coming back. And so all of us are gun-shy about predicting the demise of Evan Meekum.
Mike O'Neill is an Arizona pollster and marketing consultant. He has this scenario for a Meekum win tomorrow.
He clearly has a core base of support, probably in the low teens, that is absolutely rabid. The registrar of voters has projected a 35% turnout. Now, if you've got 12% of the vote statewide, but they're all Republicans, that might put you a Republican percentage in the low 20s. But if all your people vote and nobody else votes, it's not hard to see how that can go up to 40% or thereabouts. And in a five-candidate race, that can be enough.
Pre-election polls give the lead to Fife Symington, a political newcomer and wealthy Phoenix developer. The polls show Meekum in second, at least 10 points behind, but 20 to 40% of the voters are undecided. A similar scenario 4 years ago put Evan Meekum in the governor's office. Impeachment and recall have cost Meekum some support, but the Meekum militia, the Evanistas, the Meekumites, as they call themselves, are as rabid as ever. They're convinced that they and Meekum are victims of government by conspiracy. Meekum raised that theme at the Kiwanis luncheon in Phoenix last week.
Arizona is finally paying the price for having a system of government where a few people run the show from the back room and it hasn't been participation from the overall voters except to go and vote on occasions, but then have the wool pulled over their eyes and be told that things are all well and good, and while the power brokers run the show from the back room through their people who are their puppets in the legislature.
Meekum rails against abortion, taxes, and big government. His campaign has the tone of a moral crusade. Listen to this last-minute attack ad Meekum recorded in a Phoenix Sound studio last week.
Okay, anytime.
This is former Governor Evan Meekum to remind you that the race for the Republican nomination will be decided between me and Mr. Symington, who is for abortion and for making homosexuality legal, and God cannot bless Arizona if we allow these grievous sins to continue. My lifetime of success...
He's just been a disaster for this state. He's been a disaster for the Republican Party, and he's proven beyond any doubt, as far as I'm concerned, that he is not capable of leading this state and bringing people together.
Fife Symington is Evan Meekum's chief Republican primary opponent.
Should the unbelievable happen and my party nominate Evan Meekum, he will be decisively defeated in the general election. His negatives are too high. He can't possibly make it. So in his defeat, he will cause one of the two houses of state government to switch over to the Democrats. And then we're looking at redistricting in 1991. And the Republican Party could be gerrymandered out of its majority status in the state, will be banished to the wilderness for 10 years.
Next year's redistricting is especially important because the 1990 census is expected to give Arizona at least one new congressional seat. Party officials agree with Symington's scenario. They say a Mecham win will prompt moderates to boycott the fall election, costing other Republicans votes. Moderates have already defected, triggering a fundraising crunch for the party. Many in Arizona believe the state's reputation is also at stake in tomorrow's vote. Joe Lane led the Mecham impeachment drive in the Arizona House and is now a Republican political consultant in Phoenix.
If he gets through the primary, the media will be here from New York Times all the way on down the line. They'll all be here.
And what will that do?
Well, just give us another black eye. We've got people out trying to recruit companies. If we have a continued political instability and people are saying, oh my God, that gives Utah and Wyoming and Nevada and all those other people, Colorado, a much better chance because they do have some real stable local government.
The Mecham-led opposition to a Martin Luther King holiday has already cost Arizona more than $25 million in canceled conventions. Some worry that more will be lost with both Mecham and a King holiday referendum on the November ballot. None of this phases Evan Mecham, who explains his persistence and thick skin this way.
I'll always have violent opponents, but so what? What's new? You know, the people in history that ever really accomplished anything always did so against great odds. It was never easy. So what's different?
Arizona Republicans will decide tomorrow whether Evan Mecham's history will include another controversial nomination for governor. This is Howard Berkus reporting.